Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 33. Hear the word of the Lord. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Talk with most people and they'll tell you that they're busy. Busy with work, busy with family, busy with school, busy with their next project, busy traveling, busy, busy, busy. In many people's minds, busyness equates productivity and value, meaning that the more busy we are, the more important and worthy we are. In our current culture, the more invitations we have to do things, the more valuable we think we are. And so we say yes to such invitations as we flaunt our busyness to show ourselves and other people that we are important as we strive to accomplish everything that we have said yes to doing. And there is nothing wrong with being ambitious or productive. But the trade-off is that many of us are frequently stressed, short-tempered, drained, irritable, and worried as a result of all the things that we have to do or have said yes to. In fact, many of us do so much that our pace is unsustainable. And why? Well, because our culture invites us to experience everything, because isn't that what everyone else is doing? And so we promise to ourselves and to others that our busyness is just for a season and that it will eventually end. But instead, we have been functioning at an unsustainable pace for years. But the root of why we function this way is because we have our own plans and agenda for our lives. There are business and career invitations that invite us to work more so that we can advance and get more. There are family invitations to go to this function or that reunion, to go on this vacation or be home more or spend more. There are educational invitations which offer us self-improvement and even future opportunities. And there are even entertainment and social invitations that call us to have fun, to seek comfort, or just escape from life. And since busyness equates significance, every invitation that crosses our path, we can have the tendency to jump at it because it will contribute to more success, more status, more likes and approval, more, more, more. We're so busy building our own kingdoms and fulfilling our own plans and doing whatever it takes to make it happen. But unfortunately for many, we have chosen to say yes to every invitation except for invitations from God. We can be so busy accomplishing our priorities and our agenda that we actually miss out on what God may be inviting us to do. For example, an invitation to follow Him, an invitation to be in deeper spiritual community, an invitation to serve, an invitation to rest, to pray, to weep, to admit wrongs, to forgive, to wait on Him, and even remember and celebrate what He has done. All invitations that not only develop deeper intimacy with God, but change our character and give us an eternal perspective when it comes to how we live our lives when we are available and when we accept such invitations. And it's usually yes to everything else first. But if we need more time to fulfill those other invitations, then what do? We take it from whatever time we would have given it to God. Many of us are unable to commit to anything because we're too busy and therefore unavailable. When invitations come our way to make a difference for God, we can't because we just don't have the time. Because we're so focused on our own lives and fulfilling our own plans that we often miss God because we were unavailable taking on all these other invitations. And though those other invitations are not bad in themselves, if God is not leading us in the things that we are currently doing, like how we work and the amount we work, how we raise our family when we're at school and our relationships, how we spend our time, and even how we spend our money, if God is not leading when it comes to those areas, then we can end up missing the plan that God may be inviting us into, which is so much greater while we're doing such things. Because God's invitations can look different for different people in different seasons of life. And in God's invitations, everyday things that we do become purposeful and eternal things. So for example, you may be a parent, but are you parenting with God's influence in the ways you raise your kids, how you speak to them and even discipline them? Work is great, but are you trusting in that to save you? Or are you being mindful of what God is inviting you into when it comes to your work? So now work is not just something that you do in order to earn money, but it becomes more purposeful to you and even to those around you. See, invitations from God can be both big or small, but we only know what those invitations from God can look like when we make ourselves available for God. Because His invitations don't call us to be known by what we produce or how we look to other people, but rather invites us into freedom in Him. His invitations invites us to live into the fact that we are wanted, loved, and known by Him. His invitations invite us into something much bigger and greater than us. His invitations invite us to become more like Him as our character is transformed and as we live out His purposes for our life. And what we do with the invitations that we receive will dramatically affect the people we become and will determine how we follow Jesus. You know, today we're beginning our brand new series called The King is Coming, the most epic Christmas story. And so why are we doing this series? Well, because oftentimes for many, Christmas is all about trees and food and lights and presents and parties and busyness. Lots and lots of busyness. But what if Christmas was more than just that? What if Christmas meant that a king was coming? A king who could change everything about the situations that we face. A king who would change the world, and a king who could even change us. A king who makes our impossibles possible and our waiting purposeful. A king who can give us joy that is immovable and peace that is everlasting. A king who invites us to do life with Him. And all throughout Scripture, we see God frequently invite people into deeper relationship and into a greater purpose with Him. He invited a man named Abraham to be the father of the nation of Israel. He invited people like Moses, Joshua, Deborah, and David to lead the nation of Israel. He invited the nation of Israel to be a light to the other nations. God invited countless, countless people to know Him, to walk with Him, to take steps of faith with Him, where the mundane of what they were doing became something greater than they could think, ask, or imagine. In fact, God invited a girl named Mary into an opportunity that would change the trajectory of her life, the world, and the eternity of every single human created. We pick up the story here. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The author Luke, who is a medical doctor and who records this account, mentions the place Nazareth because he wanted to show readers that this remote and insignificant town would be the last place that anyone would look for a savior. And we are introduced to a junior high to high school teenage girl named Mary. She was anywhere in the range between 12 to 15 years old. And in the first century, it was actually common for women to get married at that age. So the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was so confused with this greeting. Why would this angel tell her such things? Highly favored? Mary probably didn't see herself that way, because in the first century, people who were highly favored and blessed were those who had status, had stuff, or were highly influential or rich. And we actually view people that way right now. But Mary was actually none of that. Mary was young. She was a girl. She was poor. She had no status or influence, and was actually viewed as unfavored by society's standards. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Mary found the angel's greetings puzzling and his presence frightening. Why would God take notice of her of all people? But yet God reminds her how he feels about her, and he invites her into the plan of what he was going to do. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a child, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." See, there's a dilemma here, because Mary already had a plan for her life. She was going to get married to a carpenter named Joseph. She's going to live a simple married life like everyone else in Nazareth, have kids, take care of the home, and grow old with a husband. I mean, that sounds like a pretty good plan. But God had better plans for her. A teenage girl from Nazareth was seen as insignificant, but yet God chooses her in order to unravel his great plan for humanity using her. The angel was saying, "Don't be afraid of me and of what God is about to invite you into, because you have his favor and you will give birth to the Savior of the world." This would all be part of God's plan to bring peace, reconciliation, and salvation to the whole world. And she would be instrumental in that plan. She would call the baby Jesus, which means rescuer, and he will save his people from their sins. No one else in human history will be more influential than him. He'll be called the Son of the Most High God. And of course, Mary is going to ask the question that all of us are now thinking. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." She innocently asked, "God, how will you do it? Like, I believe you, but how will this exactly happen?" Do you ever focus on the how when it comes to God? How will my marriage get better? How will I make ends meet this month? How will I be able to continue when there is loss and things have been so tough? How will we get the results we want? How will we grow our family? And oftentimes we can get so caught up on the how because we want to know the exact plan of how everything is going to work, how it will unfold, and when exactly it will happen. Then, instead of fully accepting God's invitation for him to lead us in what we're doing, we actually end up being consumed with worry, anxiety, and fear as we try to take control of the situation in order to make things turn out the way that we want. But Mary doesn't do this, and the angel reminds Mary not to worry about the how, but for her to focus and trust the who that will make it all happen in due time. And the author Luke is very clear to remind us that Mary's virginity is presented as a huge obstacle to getting pregnant, but can only be overcome by the will and power of God. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." The verb to come on has no sexual connotation at all. Same with the word overshadow, which really is a figure of speech for the presence and miraculous activity of God. And so here, God would cover with a cloud and permanently stay over Mary. This cloud was a manifestation of the glory and presence of God that was now going to do a unique work in the life of Mary. Mary would be the vessel that God would use to carry this child that would be God, who would now become flesh and human like one of us. Scripture teaches us that this child, Jesus, would be 100% God and 100% human. And so being born from Mary, Jesus would have a physical body like ours. And since Jesus is God, he is 100% God. So he's 100% God, meaning Jesus would be able to do all that God can do. And by taking on the form of a human and by being 100% human, it meant that Jesus would also be facing and experiencing all the temptations and struggles that we face, but yet would be without sin. By God choosing to take on human form and being 100% human, it shows us that the King of the universe is able to identify and relate with us 100% of the time, all the time. That is why Jesus is the perfect God-man that would come in order to rebuild the broken relationship between God and man because of sin. Jesus would be the one that would finally give us an avenue where we would be able to be made right with God. And Luke, being a medical doctor who has seen all kinds of births, included this story into his eyewitness account of Jesus because he wanted to convince us that the virgin birth was fact and only something God can accomplish. The angel continues, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." Here the angel mentions Mary's relative, Elizabeth, who in her old age was able to somehow conceive a child with her husband, Zachariah, because of the power of God. Her situation was impossible in the eyes of everyone, but yet God allowed her to be pregnant. And if Elizabeth's child was going to be John the Baptist, the one that would prepare the way for the Savior, then how much more would God ensure that Mary would get pregnant so that the Messiah would come to us? An elderly woman and now a virgin were both situations that were impossible in the eyes of humans, but nothing is impossible with God. And if God gave his word that it would happen, then it would happen, and no obstacle would stand in God's way when it came to accomplishing his plan. But based on all this news, Mary really had a choice: continue with her own plans or surrender to what God was inviting her into. Because Mary did have her plans to just be like everyone else, you know, get married to Joseph, have a family, live in a quiet town, and have a quiet life. I mean, everything was mapped out for her. But then in the midst of her quiet life, God came with an invitation for Mary for something much greater than she could think, ask, or imagine. She had a choice to make. The first option was to stick with her own plan for her life. I mean, there was nothing wrong with the life that she had planned. Every woman at that time would have wanted that same plan. But the second option meant surrendering her plans, her will, and her control to God and what he was inviting her into, which would change not only her life, but by accepting God's invitation, it would bring hope and salvation to all people. It would open an avenue for anyone to have a relationship with this Savior and experience real transformation. It would change the eternities of all humans. Many of us have plans, and there's nothing wrong with planning out what our hopes and dreams are. But the question we want to answer is this: have we invited God into those plans? And whatever those plans are we willing to put them on hold if God has something greater for us? Or do we insist on doing things our way, in our time, in our efforts, and in our wisdom? And many times when God invites us into an opportunity, we have to honestly ask ourselves the following question: am I going to hold on to my plans, or can I trust God for something much bigger than I anticipated for my life? See, God will frequently give us daily invitations like, follow me, or would you spend time with me? Would you serve me in this way? Would you listen to me and be obedient to me? Would you cooperate with me? But if we are not faithful to accept the daily invitations of God, then he will not offer us his greater plans or his best if we're not ready to receive it. When we're too busy accepting all other invitations and are unavailable for God's invitations, we can actually end up missing out on what God could have done. And God would not have given Mary such a great opportunity if she wasn't already faithful to walk with God and accept his smaller invitations all this while. That is why God invited her for an eternal opportunity, knowing that this would be hard and costly on the road ahead. And you can tell that Mary had a surrendered response when it came to her own plans when she said, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." See, Mary's response is, "I do not know what this all means right now, but I'm going to surrender to you and I'm going to trust you, God, to do what you want. I'm here to serve you. I will take your plans for me over mine." See, knowing the character of God, she totally submitted her will and plans to God, believing that he knew better. And that if she were to trust him, God would do the impossible in, through, and around her. So what about you? How would you respond? If God had an opportunity for you where he wanted to use your life to change the world, or even change the lives of the people around you, would you be willing and available? Would your response be complete surrender like Mary? Or would you negotiate with God? Or maybe tell him later, or that you're too busy because of your own plans at the moment? Or maybe you tell him that your plans are actually better than his plans. And your response to that question will determine how surrendered your heart is to God. Because it comes down to us deciding if it's going to be his will or my will, his plans or my plans, busy for him or busy for myself, available or unavailable. And many of us want to surrender our lives to God, and we know that it's good to do that intellectually. But if we were honest with ourselves, it may look like we submit to God, but actually there are aspects of our lives that are actually not surrendered to God. In fact, we maintain control because such things remain as our security. Things like our will, our time, our money, our relationships, our sexuality, our past, our tech, our thought life, our political views, our bitterness, and even our unforgiveness. We want more of God, but yet we don't surrender more of ourselves to him. We want his will and his best, but yet we also want to hold on to our will as we look out for our own selves and our own best. We say we want a savior, but we can function like we are our own saviors every single day. We want to be used by God, but yet don't want to make time to be available to be used by God. So if God asked you, if you were available to do something great for him, would you answer like Mary? I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Or would we say, God, you are my servant. May my words and my will be fulfilled. Many of us have trouble saying yes to God because we can't say no to ourselves. It is always all about us and what we can do to advance ourselves and our agendas as we build our own kingdom. But here, Mary had the posture where it wasn't about her, but about what God was trying to do in this world through her. Her posture was, God, whatever you want, I want. She was surrendered to God, not knowing the cost of her yes of obedience to God. Her yes would cost her absolutely everything. Her yes would cause her to be ridiculed by the public, including family and friends, for being unwed and being pregnant. Her yes would result in her raising Jesus as a single parent when her husband Joseph dies. Her yes would cause her to surrender Jesus back to the will of his father in order to fulfill his earthly destiny and ministry. Her yes would cause her to see her son hated and beaten and then hung on a cross and left to die. Her yes would bring her heartache, pain, and even grief. But her obedience and her availability and her yes helped to create a way for God and humans to be made right again. Mary's yes made a way for the coming of the King who would come to save all of us, all of mankind. Her yes brought freedom to humanity, and her yes brought the impossible of God to others. And even though there was a cost to her yes, Mary knew that by trusting God with her life, the benefits of following God would way outweigh any sort of burden or heartache that she would have to experience in the process. She didn't know it at the time, but her yes to God and her being available for God would cause her to be a world and eternity changer, all because of her surrendered posture towards God. And imagine if Mary had said no to this invitation because of her own plan and her own will for her life. So how may God be inviting you into something much greater than you can think, ask, or imagine? Maybe the invitation is for you to put your trust in him and to follow him. Maybe the invitation is to commit to daily time with God in prayer. Maybe the invitation is for you to slow down and to rest in him rather than going at the unrealistic pace that you've been trying to keep. Maybe the invitation is to be present with your family and your friends and to love them and serve them like Jesus. Maybe the invitation is to evaluate your finances and your current lifestyle so that you're not always so stressed with work and stretched thin with finances. Maybe the invitation is to step out in faith because God has been calling you to do something and you've been putting it on the back burner. Maybe the invitation is to serve here with kids, with welcoming people, with outreach opportunities like neighbor to neighbor or English conversation class. Or maybe it's something else, all things that help to create environments to help people to come to know Jesus and walk with him. Maybe the invitation is to say sorry to someone that you have hurt, or to forgive someone who has hurt you. Maybe it is something else. See, God frequently gives us invitations. And by saying yes to those invitations, God changes us and prepares us for even greater things. all throughout Scripture and all throughout history, God did amazing things through people who were available and who said yes to his invitation for them to choose his will over their wills. But the opposite was also true. When people were unavailable for God or chose their wills over his will, they simply missed out on God's best for their lives. And when we continue to live that way, we miss out on what God would have wanted to do in, through, and around us because we were unavailable to trust him. So here are some questions for you to think about and respond to. Number one, how may God be inviting you into something much greater than you can think, ask, or imagine? Two, what would you need to reorder or change in your life so that you can be more available to God and what he may be inviting you into this season? Three, what is at stake if you continue to hold on to your plans and agenda over God's plan? Who will be affected? And four, what would it take for you to get to the point where you can say, God, whatever you want, I want? Bill Bright is someone who I consider to be a faith hero and someone who I look up to in how he lived his life totally surrendered for God. In 1951, Bill Bright was a student at Fuller Theological Seminary. He and his wife, Vonette, decided to come up with a contract with God where they pledged to become slaves for Christ. It was that decision that would go on to impact the entire world. You know, today we look at the word slave and it makes us uncomfortable. In an interview, the Christian Broadcasting Network followed up and asked him, "You and your wife have signed a contract with each other and with God saying we surrender ourselves to be slaves? Is that true?" Bill responded, "Absolutely. Everything is surrendered." He continues, "You know, when you study in the scripture clearly teaches we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So none of us really have any rights. I'm simply acknowledging that when I say, Lord, I want to be your slave, I know I'm a son of God, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Christ. I'm seated with him in the heavenlies. But by choice, like Paul, Peter, and others, I've chosen to be a slave. And it's the most liberating thing you can imagine." It was through that decision of being totally surrendered for Christ and being open to any invitation that God may ask of Bill and Vonette that they started Campus Crusade for Christ, also known as CRU. A ministry that strives to win, build, and send Christ-centered disciples who disciple others and launch spiritual movements. And such movements would be everywhere so that everyone knows someone who truly follows Jesus. In fact, CRU has had an astronomical impact in the U.S. and around the world. Because of Bill and Vonette's yes to God over 70 years ago, CRU now has 5,300 Christian ministries that engage and touch the lives of more than 100 million people annually. Because Bill and Vonette said yes to Christ, there are now campus ministries in 2,300 locations engaging more than 101,000 students and faculty members on U.S. college campuses. Because Bill and Vonette said yes to God, CRU has marriage and family outreaches to 18 million people annually. Because Bill and Vonette said yes to God, CRU does ministry to global military personnel all throughout the United States and throughout 34 other countries. Because Bill and Vonette said yes to God, the Jesus film has been shown in every country in the world and has been translated into more than 1,800 languages because Bill and Vonette said yes to God. To date, the Jesus Film Project is responsible for more than 10.5 billion exposures to the gospel and more than 633 million total estimated decisions for Christ. Those are just a fraction of all that crew does. All that because of two people who were totally available and surrendered to what God was inviting them into. Lives changed now and for eternity because Bill and Vonette were available to the invitation God was calling them into. And it was because of this ministry that God used people to introduce me to Jesus as they gave me the opportunity to respond to his gospel. So as we prepare for the coming of the King, may we make ourselves available and even accept God's daily invitations for something much greater than we can think, ask, or imagine. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we function in a way where we miss out on your invitations. And so help us to be available for your invitations to us, as we know that your will and your ways are the best. And help us to hold on to our plans very, very, very lightly. And as we seek you and as you do above and beyond what we could ever think, ask, or imagine. So God, we want to see the impossible done. So God, have your way with us. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you are hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you for your sins and to create an avenue so that you can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. God lived the perfect life, and that's Jesus. And then he chose to die for your sins so that you can have forgiveness and life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves you and me. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@comicitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.